Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Dusty White of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the Father Effect.
Talking about the Father Effect, this topic has sparked because of a recent group that I started. Started a group with a group of guys in our church. This is a group of men who have issues with their dad. What I mean by that is maybe they haven't had the healthiest relationship with their dad, and they've come to realize that over time, and they are dads. But as you're listening in, the reason we wanted to share this podcast with you is because, well, everybody has a dad, whether your dad was around, whether he was present, whether he was absent, all of us listening have a relationship or a lack of relationship with our dad. So over time as a pastor, I've interacted with a lot of people and the more, especially over the last probably 2 to 3 years, the more I've come to realize how important the family system is in our makeup. We become, whether we like it or not, we become this product of the family that we originated from, right? And as you understand attachment and as you understand relational realities, that gets back to somehow your relationship with your dad, or whether that was a relationship that you lacked. So in this group, we're talking about a number of things. We're talking about identity issues. We're talking about approval issues, because that's a huge thing. We're talking about absenteeism, which is just a chapter out of Douglas Wilson's book, Father Hunger, on just how dads are absent sometimes. We're talking about anger. Mm-hmm. Now, absolutely everybody has some measure of anger. Hmm. But if you have any sort of daddy issues, you definitely have some anger issues. Hmm. And you can't deny that. We're talking about some other emotions. We're talking about failure, and we're talking about how in our failure, we're not sure what to do with it because maybe we weren't taught it in our family correctly, especially from our father, who could either affirm us in some failure or come alongside and put his arm around us and say, hey, you failed, but that's okay. So when those things are not in place, people with daddy issues don't know how to deal with failure. We're also talking about what is God's role. Apparently, you know, we talk about God in the Trinity. He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you have daddy issues, when you hear that God's a father, you twitch a little bit. You're not sure that you want to relate to God as father. So, you know, Son and Holy Spirit, let's start there. And then maybe with the Father. And then we're also talking about, like, hey, especially if you're a parent and if you're a dad, hey, you can do this. So it's an 8-week group. We're only a couple weeks in, and it's a lot of fun. And here's why it's fun. You don't deal with these things if you don't set aside time to think about it. So that's where this podcast is coming from. That's where it's originated from. Right now it's with some leaders in our church, but I think everybody could benefit from spending some time on this reality.
Dusty, what, as a pastor of these men and as a pastor in general, what things were you seeing that made you say, man, there needs to be a specific group focusing on these, you know, 8 topics? Like, what things are you seeing, and what things do you really hope for as a pastor that you'll see and beginning to, like, take root, produce fruit, in families?
So, this is a little interesting, but after you work with people for a really long time in any sort of context, but especially in the church, you can quickly realize in 1 or 2 conversations what that person's relationship with his parents or her parents was like. What I mean by that is you'll encounter leaders and you'll encounter people in the church, and there's this built-in confidence that somebody has when they're coming from a healthy family structure. Why is that? Well, they had a mom who loved them and cared for them and nurtured them. They had a dad who led well and provided, and they left that situation and flew the coop, and maybe they went to college and maybe they got married and mom and dad are still married and everything sounds great, right? Those people have this built-in confidence. If Bob were here, he has that story. He would be able to share more about that story. In fact, one of the reasons that's so fun in our dynamic in ministry and our partnership in ministry is we have almost polar opposite family mm-hmm. stories. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun to minister together and be friends because you're able to say, hey, this is what you don't get. And then he's able to say, hey, this is where you're being weird. Mm. Now, what that also means is there's a lot of leaders in the church and people in the church that lack confidence and they have blind spots, but they're not sure where those are coming from, right? Now, I'm being pretty general there because I'm not saying if you have a healthy family structure, you don't have any blind spots, right? But beneath that, in an unhealthy family structure, maybe your dad was absent, maybe he was present, but he just watched TV all the time, or, you know, like when there's disconnect there with a healthy dad especially, your blind spots, you're unaware of your blind spots, but you're also deeply insecure about them because your dad has this authority that was either abdicated or abused. And then that didn't play into your role in life correctly. So you have to figure it out the hard way, which is with help, hopefully from the church. So Mike, that's a long answer to say, like, as I've interacted, especially with men in our church who have a lot of potential. Okay. So like you'll interact with people and you're like, man, this dude's amazing. How come he can't lead or hit this level that he wants to hit? Mm-hmm. Well, some of those ideals come from an overcompensating in his own personhood because of a lack of healthy relationship and nurture with a dad. So that desire and just seeing that over time, has sparked that desire, is what I should say.
Yeah.
I think I could do this group every single week for the rest of my life. And this is the sad part. It's not, you don't have to search for these people, right? Mm. Like they're in every church, they're in every small group. And a lot of them are leaders and a mm-hmm. lot of them are pastors, right? Mm. So it's really important to reflect on your family realities and then therefore deal with them and face them and invite people into the process. To go a little bit further there, there's this guy named Jeff Schulte, who's, I believe he's a pastor or a leader. And he has said that, the father, is the yardstick, the measuring stick for everybody. Now that he's not abdicating the mother's role there. Mm-hmm. Now, and then there's interesting biological studies here that you can go and read in medical stuff, but even the medical world would say, one article that I read recently is, which I don't have in front of me, but said something like the dad has, a more significant role in your life because his role in your life was an option. Hmm. And the article, this medical article was basically saying, the mother has to carry the child. She has to nurse the child. She has to care for the child. She doesn't have really any options. Even if she gives the baby up for adoption, she still has primary responsibility at the beginning, right? Mm. Mm. So the dad had this optional entry point, which he becomes the yardstick. Now, whether you agree with that or disagree, doesn't really matter. But what matters is it takes a dad and a mom to produce a healthy human, right? Mm. And let's just say he's right, that the dad is the yardstick. And we're all, what he means by that is we're all looking for the measuring stick or the, like, what am I aiming for and what's good enough and what's bad enough? Mm. And right there, you can see where that becomes approval issues.
Yeah.
It becomes authority issues. Mm. If you have a bad relationship with your dad or your dad abdicated his responsibilities, you now have authority issues in the sense of either you're seeking the approval of authority constantly in your life, whether that's from other leaders, your boss, your church leaders, et cetera, or you're afraid of authority. And so you run from it and can't stand it. Mm. Right. Either way, your dad was the yardstick for that. This is the Jeff Schulte line. Mm-hmm. Your dad was the yardstick for that. And so we're searching for the yardstick. Mm. We're searching for that measurement. Mm. And this has been prevalent in my own life. Even as we record this podcast, my dad's been in and out of the hospital due to alcohol abuse, liver failure, kidney failure, things like these. The reality is my dad and I have had a very spotty relationship. And as a leader, thankfully, honestly, probably by the grace of God in the church, I've been able to address how clunky that is, how hard that's been, but at the same time realize, okay, I have to give a lot of substance to this relationship, whether it's good or bad. Hmm. And I've had to grieve a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I've had to forgive a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it's been very formative for me. So if you ever meet somebody who says like they didn't have a good relationship with their dad and they're over it, they're lying to you. Hmm. Because you can't be over that. Hmm. It's a God-given role given to the dad to either steward that responsibility, or to hand it off to somebody else, maybe even officially, but it's not an option to not face it. So this whole idea of, the effects of fatherhood, they affect all of us. They definitely affect dudes. But they affect all of us. They affect, sons and daughters alike, men and women alike. And we have to properly reflect on certain things in that relationship.
So what kind of things have you been doing to disciple these guys? Walk us through what, you know, let's say you have, we're talking particularly dudes, but I think there's, like you were saying, there's space for the ladies in our church as well. But let's just, as far as by way of example, just talk us through what we're doing with these guys.
So right away, we're talking about just the reality of our relationship with our dad. We're getting that all on the table. And then over time, we'll fill in the contours of that. We're also talking primarily about identity for the first couple of weeks, similar to that yardstick idea that I just shared, but also just the reality of who am I? In a healthy home, everybody's figuring out who they are, really from ages 0 to 10, right? We're all asking, what am I? Am I a boy or a girl? And then who am I? And I find out who I am based on my primary caregiving. So when that hasn't happened, well, we have to figure that out later, right? So we've been focused, Chris, a lot on identity issues. Who are we? Where are we finding our identity? You'll find a lot of guys and gals who throw themselves into their work and their accomplishments because that's where they're getting affirmed. Mm. If you're into sports,
yeah,
and you've thrown yourself into sports, maybe in high school and college, but you have a bad relationship with your dad, one of the things you need to go and reevaluate is, why is that? Is that just because I'm competitive? Why am I competitive? Is it because I'm actually looking for affirmation? Mm. What's healthy competition look like? Mm. Right? So that's some of the stuff that we're talking about.
Mm. I know that for a guy, there's a potential of a lot of guilt and shame kind of being wrapped up in conversations like this. How do you show empathy and grace from your own story, like from your own experience? How do you kind of lay the path forward for them being one that's grace filled and not, hey, just be a better dad. Like, mm-hmm. just get your act together. Cause that's, I think in a sense, a lot of us grew up with dads who said that, like, hey, just do it, just get it done. And, how is this different than, mm-hmm. than that, than you as a spiritual father coming along and walking them through these things?
Shame and guilt are present in everybody, right? We all have certain degrees of that where those things are at play under the surface for us. But especially, and I'm going to keep talking, I'm going to err obviously because of my own story a little bit on just the absent reality of fatherhood. So if that's not your story, flip that and think in your context and about your story as you listen. But especially for people who have a broken relationship with their dad, guilt is a huge driver because they're able to reflect on that intuitively and go, well, that was bad and wrong. And especially now, if you're a Christian, you want to do it right, mm-hmm. right? Well, the only right that you have is the biblical way, but then that also seems overwhelming because you've never seen it done. So you swing too far. Usually the pendulum swings way too far, and now you just want to do it right. And underneath wanting to do it right, you're consistently preoccupied with, I don't want to screw it up. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to screw it up, you're going to keep barking about the right things, but you won't have any grace. Mm-hmm. So we got to be careful on the pendulum swing mm-hmm. and go, okay, God has given me this role. Here's who I am in Christ. How do I not, you know, have this crazy reaction to my story, mm-hmm. but realize that God can meet me right here somewhere in the reality of it mm. and the clunkiness of it. And with the clunkiness of it, he's going to give me grace day by day mm. to do whatever's in front of me. Mm-hmm. So that guilt and shame is a huge driver. So Mike, even the fact that you're mentioning that is, it would do us all well just to go back and go, man, how much am I driven by right, wrong? Mm-hmm. And how much am I driven by I'm not wanted and I wasn't accepted? Mm-hmm. And if that right there would get you a lot of mileage, mm-hmm. right? Mm. But you got to put the gospel over that mm-hmm. and say, mm-hmm. and also see, we also have to in that go, apparently God accepts me. I don't get that, right?
Yeah.
So apparently God accepts me. I'm a son of the Most High God. Okay, those kinds of things right there, those phrases seem weird. What also seems weird is saying to people, hey, you just need to trust God. I haven't been able to trust anything. So mm-hmm. like, be careful, right? So like we throw around these phrases in the church and we got to realize trust makes sense if you had trusting authority figures in your life, right? Yeah. We have to use different language when we're talking to these kinds of folks, yeah. people like me.
Yeah, so talk more about that because I think one of the things that I've experienced as a pastor and even in my own life is, man, this language of God as Father can be so beautiful. And some of my favorite sermons that I've ever preached is being able to just celebrate that. But at the same time, that can be terrifying to people. Mm-hmm. How have you walked with people through coming to that place where they can actually rest in the fatherhood of God or begin to embrace that as a source of security and a source of worship and a source of identity when initially so much of that can actually, you know, kind of mess with people's categories?
Chris, that's the million-dollar question for anybody who has any sort of dad issues. Now, what I did early on into being a Christian was say, oh, well, and this is what a lot of people in what I would call pastoral male practice will do, is they'll say, hey, that's okay that your relationship, you know, that's sad that that was your reality, but that's okay now because God is your Father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like a theological pendulum swing. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying until a couple of years ago, and this came through some friends, obviously now through Crosspoint, Rich Plass and Jim Cofield, when they said, hey, how you relate to your earthly relationships is how you're going to relate to God, right? That's not the first time I heard that.
Yeah.
But it was really the first time that it sunk in. This is pretty fresh a few years ago. And I was like, oh, that's why like that theological jump doesn't work. Mm. I can't Jesus juke myself and Bible juke myself and Trinity juke myself into believing that somehow I can relate to God in this emotional attachment kind of way when I never have experienced that on earth because our earthly realities play into our heavenly realities. So Chris, that's the answer to that for me. But then I also think we have to go, okay, everything on earth is broken anyway. So even if I had a healthy family structure, it still wouldn't compare to the Father that God wants to be to me. So in light of that, how do I start to like dip my toe into the waters of, how do I start in the zero depth entry,
zero entry pool
of the pool and go, okay, I'm going to trust this, you know, I'm just going to slowly enter into trust into the Father's love. And I'm going to let the Lord, start dropping in brand new things to me. Like there's things that I'm going to have to experience with God that I've never seen mirrored, right? Because ideally, your earthly father creates kind of this mirror, even in some brokenness, towards your heavenly father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I've found is that this is an incredibly slow process, like you were saying, and that just even if you're making these beautiful statements about God is your father and here's how he wants to relate to you and this is who you are in Christ, that people can go, yeah, I know that, I agree with that. It is beautiful, but then the actual lived in experience, their heart and their actual connection to attachment to God, to use that language, it takes time. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do as a pastor, mm-hmm. And even personally, is think through this lens of attachment, mm-hmm. to some degree. How is attachment formed in human relationships? And the same thing, like with the Lord, that this takes time and it takes actual inhabited practice and inhabited, you know, rhythms and routines. I mean, attachment with human beings takes time and it happens through interaction and both good and positive, and but also wrestling through, you know, hard things as, mm-hmm. well. And so recognizing that it takes time, recognizing that it takes a relational rhythm and routine. So, I mean, we can talk about prayer and being in the Word, but mm-hmm. it seems to me that it's also worship and the liturgy of worship, yeah. community. But it also seems to me that, and sorry if this sounds a bit too Roman Catholic, but to some degree, people need that relationship mediated.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Christ is our mediator.
Right.
Ultimate mediator. But if I've never learned what it means to have a healthy attachment to the Lord, I need someone to help me with that. I need someone, mm-hmm. to teach me that and, mm-hmm. disciple me in that. And again, you have to be careful because that can go sideways in multiple ways. And we've probably, you know, if you're a pastor or a leader, you've probably experienced where someone has sort of made you a father figure in some ways that maybe wasn't helpful.
Right.
But maybe that is a space that, you know, the Lord's calling you to step in as a spiritual father. But all that to say, I think it's okay to say, hey, I need someone to help me do this. Mm-hmm. I need someone to walk with me in this and mediate this. So I learn how to, connect with the Lord on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally what we have to do here, right? And that's one of the reasons that I started grabbing these guys and getting together, because I started seeing guys who were stuck, right? So there's this like ideal version of who I want to be. So that's the guilt part even, right? And then there's this like, I'm stuck in this reality. I'm not sure even how to have the courage to muster up to enter in. Then you throw some shame in there. And so like, I have to figure out with some help how to enter into this best life that I've always wanted with God. And that's going to require some assistance, some discipleship, right?
Dusty, I remember back before this group was even an idea, I was wrestling through some of my own dad issues, and I was wrestling with them in a pretty angry way. And one of the ways I've seen community and empathetic community that feels with me and walks with me, is just the ability to sit and listen and like not rush the mm-hmm. rest, not rush the healing process, you know, like Chris, like you said, it takes time. But also Chris, when you said worship, it made me think one of the things I was encouraged to do was stop comparing myself to my dad,
mm-hmm.
and like stop being frustrated with my dad not being the dad that I wanted, and start comparing myself and what I'm striving to be as a father to God. And it like mm-hmm. helped shifted my focus away from my dad's failures, mm-hmm. to the God, the Father who is perfect and complete and holy. And that actually made me more empathetic towards my dad eventually. And I was actually mm-hmm. able to go to him and apologize for the ways in which I held him to a standard he was never able to follow up to, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that was a healing moment for my dad.
Yeah.
It brought him an opportunity to say, yeah, you're right. Those are all things I'm aware of. And I'm sorry. And it was like, whoa, like, so here we are at the moment that I've always wanted, but I was trying to get it by being angry and forceful about it. And it all shifted though when my heart and my eyes were focused on God. And it was, I began to see, oh, this is a worship issue, not necessarily all my dad's fault. This is my fault too. Like, I'm bringing my own sin to the table here. So
yeah, that's good. That reminds me of a conversation I had with a guy in our church recently who, you know, has a pretty broken story. And as we were talking, one of the things that was coming out was this frustration that he felt related to his own being a husband and being a father, and how he wanted to be what he never had. And so I started talking through and saying, hey, are you expecting redemption through being a better father or being a better husband? And starting to unpack that really, you know, salvation through better parenting or being a better husband is a recipe for resentment.
Totally.
And a recipe for failure and more shame and more guilt. And so helping him trying to come to this place of, hey, yes, you want to write a new story, but it's not, as you were saying, it's not in comparison to your broken father. It's out of worship of the Lord and to love your kids, love your wife. Because again, if you try to parent and be a husband out of those things, then you actually end up start using your wife and kids as a way to fill this gap. And so what it looks like to, you know, parents and be a husband and be a godly man, godly father out of a place of worshiping, honoring the Lord, and then also trusting him to redeem and restore those broken things, not through your effort, but by his grace and his spirit.
Yeah.
Those are some beautiful moments. And I don't think I would have appreciated that myself and as a pastor, because I'm the same way. Like, I remember when I first got married, I was like, I'm going to be everything my dad wasn't.
I want to be the opposite. Yeah. I'm doing everything different.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to love my wife. Yep. And, you know, so there was this like comparison thing too, Mike. So I appreciated what you shared there. And it's taken me a long time to figure out, because I mean, even it sounds so inspiring. Yeah, you're gonna write the story that you never had.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that just like starts burdening dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't carry that.
Yeah.
That's exactly the pendulum swing that I was talking about, because we have resolution and we have commitment. And it's similar to like on December 31st saying, I'm gonna read my entire Bible next year, and you do well until like March or April. Like, we have these great intentions, but we don't know who we are all the time, and we don't know our own capacities. And instead of asking for help and getting discipled along the way, we weigh ourselves down with these ideals, and that leads to anger and frustration. And then we don't know how to flesh that out. And so then we just end up more stuck. So we have to get help. We have to fly the plane while we have our head out the window, so to speak, because we have to realize, okay, I have these things going on in my life. I can't necessarily land the plane, but I also need to reflect. So how do I do that appropriately? Well, it's going to take community. It's going to take facing some things and dealing with some things. So we have to do the right work here if we want to be the people God wants us to be in the church. So I have two thoughts here. Number one, if you're a leader in a different context, to what you said a minute ago, Chris, is super true of all of us, right? Like, we know the people, and we are some of those people who have said like, hey, I'm going to write a different story and I'm going to change the trajectory of everything. If you know that person who's resolute about that, just seek them out and say, hey, why? Like, why is that? What's so burdening you right now that you have to make a change? Could you tell me a little bit more about your story there? And then help them move the pendulum back to reality out of the ideal. And that's going to require some friendship and some work and some trust, but, do that person a favor and seek them out. And then if you are this person where you're like, man, I got tons of dad issues. Like, my dad left my mom when we were three, and I remember him packing his bags and bailing, or, you know, my dad was around, but he just wasn't around. He was there, but he wasn't there. And then if you Also, maybe you have the dad who was like super successful. And one of the reasons he was successful is because he was always preoccupied. And so he was in and out and moving around and hustling the world and changing things, you know, and everything else seemed more important than you. Well, there's some frustration there. So like, if you're that person and whatever else might be on the plate for you, seek some help, seek a pastor out, seek a friend out and say, hey, I need to think about some things. I need to process some things. Now, listen to, here's my other thought. If you're a parent, recently, a couple months ago, I looked my teenagers in the eyes and I said, hey, Mom and I are trying to do the best we can. And I feel like the Lord's really, speaking of my story, I feel like the Lord's really blessed us. Like we're having a lot of fun being parents right now. And it's just super exciting. And some of it's because of doing a lot of this hard work, but, you need to realize that you're not going to nail it, right? Like nobody's going to bat 100% on parenting and especially fatherhood. So you have to come to the realization of like, hey, child of mine, like someday you're going to need to process our relationship and it won't be dishonoring me if you do. Mm. Like you can uphold the fifth commandment and honor your parents while still realizing, you know, my parents did good at this, this, and this, but this, this, and this, not so much. And I was hurt here. I am terrible at this because I was never taught this in my home or, you know, whatever it is. So if you're a parent, just realize like when your parent is six is not your goal. You're trying to raise a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, right? So think about the long-term effects of what you're doing now and try to be as intentional as possible and then be open to like, hey, you're not going to be amazing at this. Huh. You don't necessarily need to be amazing. You just need to be that kid's parent right now. Like God didn't give them to any other parent. They gave them to you.
Yeah.
And especially if you're a dad, like be their dad, be that kid's dad. Like don't be preoccupied with so many other things. Especially now as we have teenagers, I'm realizing, man, like it actually does go really fast. And I have some little kids and I have some big kids. And it was like, I mean, we put in some time, but not that much, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So we have to be intentional in our parenting, but also not overcompensate and try to act like we're going to change the world.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. As always, we love to hear from you, the listener. So send us your thoughts, questions, future podcast topic ideas in an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. And also, leave a review on whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. Tell your friends. That's how people find out about the Wednesday conversation. And we're grateful that you listen each and every Wednesday. And we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday conversation.